I think I lost them. All righty. Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 11, we're going to go there today. Exodus chapter 11. Start out there. The Bible specifically gives us two weapons in Scripture. The first one is the blood of the Lamb, and the second is our armor. I wasn't planning about talking about the armor, but it fits. And, you know, today I want to encourage you. You know, it's there was a great celebration before Jesus was crucified. There was a great celebration where people were literally laying their coats on the ground so Jesus could walk over them. They were laying palm branches down. That's why they call it Palm Sunday. They were waving them over him to give him honor and whatever they felt that was worth. And, you know, but interestingly enough, the same people that escorted him to praise him were the same people that crucified him the next week. Isn't that interesting? Not much different today. When God does something great and wonderful, we all give Him praise. But when He doesn't do what we ask, we throw a fit and tizzy and we call Him all kinds of names like He really doesn't care. Not much different. Not much different. And I want to encourage you to, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He's Lord and Savior whether it's good or bad. Paul didn't quit just because he got thrown in prison and got beaten for many times over. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't let the circumstances dictate his emotions. And I want to encourage you, and for myself, don't ever let our circumstances determine whether we honor God or not. Because God is worthy of our honor whether things are going well or not. If you look throughout Scripture, most of the people that were really growing in the Lord had a lot of difficult times. And the challenges they faced were pretty intense. And so I want to encourage you, just because things may not go the way you'd like them to, doesn't mean that you don't serve God. While the nation of Israel was being led out of Egypt, out of bondage, they were being led out of a place where they were held captive to do what someone else wanted them to do. And in the process of doing that, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit today. So we're Exodus chapter 11, if you're not there. Exodus chapter 11, the nation of Israel was in bondage to Pharaoh. And as they were in bondage to Pharaoh, God raised up a man named Moses to come and lead them out. And as Moses was leading them, there was some things that he was given as instructions. And one of them was to as they were leading them, there was going to be a celebration called the Passover. And in the celebration of the Passover, the one thing that God told Moses to do to the nation of Israel is to put blood on the doorposts and on the top of their doors so that when that night the death angel would come, because it was promised that a death angel was going to come and destroy the firstborn of the whole country. And as that was going to come through, Pharaoh and all his animals, all his family, all the people that were in the Egypt that didn't have blood on the doorposts, all their firstborn died that night because they didn't have the blood on the doorposts of their... So does that give you any indication of how powerful the blood is? The power of the blood. The blood is an amazing and powerful tool God has given to us. And I'm going to show you that as we get closer to the end of my time this morning. But he says in Exodus chapter 12, we see where the Passover comes in verse 12. It says, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Interestingly enough, they took the blood of a lamb. What was Jesus? He was the lamb. They took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorpost of their house. Guess what? God doesn't live in our houses anymore. He lives in us. And so when we receive Jesus Christ, we put the blood on the doorpost of our life. And the death angel has to pass over. He cannot do what he needs to do because of the blood. He's limited by the blood because the death angel was sent that night to take and bring judgment on this community that were worshiping other gods. And this morning I want to encourage you, if something is taking God's place in your life, quickly dethrone it. Quickly, even this morning, even while I'm preaching, if you feel convicted, come up here and dethrone it. Because that God will not do anything comparable to what God can do, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. We could be healed, set free, delivered. We could see miracles continue to happen in our day and age where we get to be the vessel God uses for those kind of things. We get to be a messenger of hope, a messenger of joy, a messenger of peace, a messenger of lots of messages that God wants to get out. And we become that when we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life. And I want to encourage you today, make sure that Jesus Christ is in your life. Because if He's not, there's no other way you'll get to heaven. And better yet, there's no other way you'll live the rest of your days here on earth without Him. Jesus Christ in the door frame of your life, you don't need Jesus then, you need Jesus now. I need Him today. I need Him now to help me walk through this life so when I'm done with this life, I can go and stand before Him and say, "Here I am, Lord," and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful." Not wicked and lazy, not tired, not all these other things that we have in life that we make all excuses of why we don't serve God. No, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so if I come here today with any other motive than other than serving Jesus Christ, I've really missed the boat. I've really missed it. Why? Because that's what God wants to do in us. He wants us to become like His Son. And Jesus was the greatest servant of all. And He says, if you want to be first, you have to learn to be a servant. But He says, the blood on the house will be a sign that when the death angel comes, he'll have to pass over. That's why they celebrate the Passover. Is that there's this work that God did through His blood. Now turn over to Romans chapter 3. So when the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the difference is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice that was crucified for us. He was a perfect sacrifice. The lamb couldn't be any kind of lamb. You couldn't take the scrubbiest lamb out of your flock and give that to God. You had to give your best. You had to give one that was without blemish or defect. And that's exactly what Jesus was. He was a lamb without defect. He was a lamb without sin. In fact, 1 John 3 says, "And in Him was no sin." He didn't have any sin in Him. He lived anointed by the Holy Spirit this life. He was anointed by God, and yet He walked perfectly. That's why He's our greatest example. He's our example of who to follow. Sometimes people get caught up, well, so-and-so over there, they do this, so I'm going to do that. And so-and-so over here, they do this, so I'm going to do that. And we never think about asking God if it's okay. We're not here to, we should be inspired by each other, but our greatest example has to be Jesus Christ. What did He do? What did He work? What did He manifest in His everyday life? So that I could follow that example. In fact, I believe it's somewhere in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be imitators of Christ. Not imitation, imitators. Imitation is a cheap, what do you call that? A cheap what? Copy of the real. So how many of you buy Sam's Cola or what's the other one? Great Value, or you buy that pop instead of Coca-Cola or whatever. Yeah, there's a major difference in taste. Now, sometimes you like the cheaper stuff, then they do the most expensive, all because of name. But anyway, the reality is that God wants us to imitate Him. That's what He wants us to do, and that's what should be happening in the church. That should be happening with the believers in the church. They should be imitators of God, not the world. So many times we try to act like the world to try to reach the world, but Jesus never did that. Jesus never went and imitated the world so that the world would be attracted to Him. No, He demonstrated something totally different that the world was attracted to Him because what they saw, they hadn't seen before. And so therefore, God wants you and I to do the very same thing that Jesus did and learn to represent Him in that way. Now, let's just be honest. Sometimes we don't do a very good job of doing that. All I'd have to do is ask your family. I wouldn't have to go any farther. You could ask my family and they'll tell you the same thing about me. There's days I don't do very well. Let's just be honest, okay? Take off the mask. But that doesn't mean we have to stay there. Doesn't mean that has to be the way it is. There's a reason for us to begin to watch the Holy Spirit begin to transform me. But the only way I'll be transformed is if I get in this book. And I allow this book to change me. I begin to think differently. I begin to think like Scripture thinks. I begin to believe what Scripture believes. I begin to act out what Jesus demonstrated, what the disciples and the apostles and those that were followers of Christ, I begin to demonstrate those things. That's what makes me different than the world. And those are the things that you and I pray, will gradually and continually grow in our understanding of that so that when we walk out these doors today, there's a distinction between you and the world. There's a distinction between what God's doing and what God isn't doing. And if there isn't much of a distinction in my life compared to the world, then I have to ask myself, why am I doing this? Why am I a pastor? If there's not much distinction between what the world does and what I do, then what in the world am I trying to accomplish by spending an hour and a half to 2 hours here today? I could just as well stay out in the world and do what the world does instead of coming here. It's really a waste of my time. If only I'm going to represent myself while I'm here. No, I'm here and we're here, I believe, gathered today under the headship of Jesus Christ to do the very thing that God is asking us to do. And I believe that's what's taken place this morning. Now, you might not be the excited one about what's taking place today, but I want to encourage you, get out of your mind and get into Christ. I have to get out of myself because I was in the length of time, I'm asking the Lord over and over, are we done yet? Are you sure you don't want us to move on? I had to get myself out of the way. So I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm just telling you like it is for myself. I want God to do whatever it is He wants and however it looks. Should look like Him. It should look like Christ. It shouldn't look like our traditions. It shouldn't look like what I used to do or how I used to go about things. It should look like Christ. And if it doesn't, then I got some changing to do, and I believe the Holy Spirit will change that in me as I walk faithfully with Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Because Jesus is that perfect lamb sacrifice, we experience or we get to receive a righteousness that has not been a part of anything that we've done. In other words, you can't be good enough to come to Christ. You come to Him on His terms, and then because of what He's done in you, you begin to develop a behavior that looks like Him. You don't get any more brownie points with God, because we're all on the same page. But the reality is that when I begin, I'll just use this, I've used this so many times. If I had a UPS uniform on with a UPS truck sitting out here, what would you expect me to do? Deliver. Right? If I brought pizza out of there, you guys would say, what are you doing? That's a wrong kind of delivery. No, you would expect a delivery. When God speaks to His church, it should look like this. And if it doesn't, the believer should go, something's up. Why? Because we know what God wants the church to look like. We know what He wants in the body. So therefore, we have to learn to surrender to the leadership and the headship of Jesus Christ. And that can only happen when we come into agreement with Him. He says, verse 21, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." This righteousness from God comes through what? Going to church on Sunday. Right? Are you reading the Bible today? It didn't say going to church on Sunday. This righteousness comes by faith. Faith, because faith pleases God. So therefore, I have to exercise this faith in Jesus Christ. "To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him," meaning Jesus, "a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." You know why? Because the lamb sacrifice and a dove sacrifice and all the other sacrifices couldn't take away sin. Here's the cool thing about God. When I sin and I go to God and I say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me, purify me, wash me clean," His blood comes and washes me clean, and therefore it is always under the blood. The blood has the power to cover up my sin from now till eternity, goes on forever. It'll never be brought up in heaven again. Isn't that good news? Why is that? Because if He says His blood covers my sin to take it away, then why would He ever bring it back? What purpose would there be in bringing back my sin? He's forgiven. So we could punish ourselves like we like to do here on earth? Oh, I remember what you used to do. Oh, and you. Oh, I'm amazed you're even here. Well, that's the way we think. They're going to church? Good Lord, what's going on? No. The reality is that when I've come to Jesus Christ, I receive a righteousness that is not from my own behavior. It's a righteousness that comes by faith. And that when I come to Him, I can ask Him to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me. He says His blood covers it to never be remembered again. That's good news. And I am so thankful that God doesn't remember my sin. But He empowers me to live an upright, self-controlled, godly life in this present age, so that when I do get done with my life and I stand before Him, He's going to say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what's important. But that blood, the power of that blood, in the Old Testament we saw the power cover, so the death angel had to go over. In the New Testament we see the blood come and covers my sin, never to be remembered anymore. Never to be brought up against us. Never to be brought against us ever again. And Jesus did that with His life, death, and resurrection. He says in verse 27, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." I'm justified just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justified means. I am justified because I've received Jesus Christ into my life by faith. And now because I have faith, I begin to work out my salvation and do the things, the good works that God created me to do. Isn't it interesting? Have you ever seen someone create a tool, have an owner's manual for this tool, and never use it? That's ridiculous. Let's all go buy a brand new car tomorrow and leave it in the garage, never move it, never start it, never do anything with it. People would think you're nuts. The world should think that of the church. You guys are nuts. You've got an owner's manual. You've got a way of living. And you don't even do it. They should think we're crazy. Why are we doing this if we're not going to utilize the manual? We're not going to utilize what God gave us. God created me to do good works. But I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by faith. And if I have faith and I am engrafted to say this is Jesus Christ and my life is engrafted in Him, then guess what? Out of Him comes life and life abundance. So out of me should be growing life. And if there's no life, maybe you're not in Christ. What other conclusion would you come grant out of that? Farmers, if you were to plant seeds in your ground this year and half of it didn't come up, would you go back and get the same seed? Jeff? No, of course not. Why would Jesus Christ be the life of all life? Why would we ever want to engraft ourselves into Him if there is no life in Him? That's crazy. Because there wouldn't be no evidence of what that life is. Same thing is, if I go and buy a brand new car and I put it in my garage and I never utilize it, guess what? I bought it for nothing. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not being used. I don't even have to change the oil or the tires. I don't even have to rotate balance. I don't even have to worry about gas. Oh man. Why is that? Because I'm not using it. Guess what? The devil applauds you. He applauds you when you sit there and we don't do nothing with what we've been given. He's going, yoo-hoo! He's cheering on your team. Why? Because God expects us to grow and to mature and to have life growing out of us. And when we don't, it's not a God problem, it's a my problem. It's my problem that life isn't growing out of me. Why? Because I have to stay engrafted in Him. John 15 verses 1 through 10 constantly tells us over and over, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. That's a promise. But if I don't remain in him, what's the result? No fruit. If I don't get much fruit, then I got to figure out why I'm not getting much fruit. God wants fruit to grow out of my life. He wants fruit to grow out of you because that's what He's created us to do. Then He says, verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, rather we uphold the law. In other words, God doesn't care if you're Jew, Greek, slave, or free. It don't matter. Black, white, yellow, pink, it don't matter what color you are. God made it all possible for all of us to come into faith with Him, receive His righteousness, and because of His righteousness, I now begin to live a life that honors and pleases Him, so that when I stand before Him on the day I'm done living my life here on earth, when I've touched the people I need to touch, when I've ministered to the people I need to minister to, when I've done what God asked me to do, He can say, well done. But it's all because of His blood that made that possible. His blood covers my sin. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's right before 2 Peter, if you haven't found that yet. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Peter was writing about being holy, being a child of God, giving up our old way of living to become what God intends us to be. And he says, since you call on Father, who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. In other words, let's just be honest. Sometimes our generations before us didn't honor God with what they did. But all of a sudden, somehow you've come into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Guess what? You begin to establish a new heritage in the family lineage. A new heritage of serving God, honoring God, blessing God, doing what God says. Now you begin to establish a new heritage being passed on from generation to generation. And that's an awesome thing to begin to do. He says, it wasn't with silver or gold or perishable things, but with the, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He did all that for us. And he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God and who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. If they're not in God, guess what? That's where it needs to be. So now that our faith and hope is in God, look at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Wow. Now that I've come into relationship with Jesus Christ through His precious blood, a lamb sacrifice, now I get to participate in this new way of living by obeying the truth. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Keep doing it. Keep doing what God asked you to do. It's a new way of living because you're not going to go back and do it the old way. So let me just say this. If you've come to know Jesus Christ and you've stayed in some old behaviors, don't be surprised if God doesn't begin to stir them out of you. He's going to stir them out of you because they're of no value to Him. If I used to cheat all the time, I'd cheat on my taxes, I'd cheat on my bills, I'd cheat on my wife, I'd cheat on my kids, I'd cheat on my... It don't matter, you can go right on down there. Cheat, cheat, cheat. That's all I used to do. That's all I used to know. Now that I've come into a right standing with God, all of a sudden, He shows me that I don't have to cheat anymore. That I can live a different way. I can do things differently and not have to worry about doing that same thing. He begins to work that out of me so that I begin to do what He's asked me to do. So He says, verse 20, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God and are raised from the dead and glorified Him so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for your brother, that's going to be one of the results of a new love. A sincere love for your brother. Oh boy. Sometimes we might not like who God asks us to love. But if they're a brother or sister, you have no other option. Why? Because God loves them. And if you're going to show the God's love to them, the only way you can do it is through God. For you love your brother, love one another deeply from the heart. Not just cheap words. Our society is filled with cheap words. Oh, I love you. Not going to show you, but I love you. Love ya. Facebook. Love ya. Uh-huh. Sure. We come here. We can go through all these emotions, say, God, love ya. Walk out those doors and never talk to Him until next Sunday. That's not love. Our world has cheapened love to the hilt. And I'll tell you what. If we're gonna represent God in this whole thing, there has to be a sincere love that comes between the brothers and sisters of Christ. And it has to come from the heart, not just lip service. So I don't know about you, but I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. And not just because I have a job of being pastor. I have some work to do because I'm a believer. And that's the bottom line. Verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Huh. I receive a righteousness that is not of my own because I believe in Jesus Christ, and out of my obedience to Jesus Christ, I now begin to make my salvation evident in my life to the point that when it comes time for me to be done living this Word, I'm done living it because I've been obeying and enduring in the Word of God. Because look at what he says next, verse 24. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. In other words, when I go and receive Jesus Christ and I get born again, I get Him living inside of me, all of a sudden because of that, I begin to demonstrate a new way of living. And I demonstrate that new way of living because of the Word of God, not because of anything else. I do that because of the Word of God. It's a powerful, powerful tool that God has given us to make sure that we don't wither and we don't fall like the flowers of this world in our faith. How many people do you know that used to be hot for God or are not right now? You can think of them. Do you like their example? You know what one of the first things to go in their relationship with God would be probably? The lack of love for God's Word. The love for God's Word. You and I are going to be of no value to God if we don't stay in God's Word. Bottom line, it's our lifeline. If I was out swimming and I needed a lifeline, God's Word should be the ring that's thrown to me to get me out of what's going on. Why? Because His Word is a lifeline. It's a lifeline in every circumstance of my life. Therefore, if I don't have God's Word, I don't have much of a lifeline. I don't have a way of getting out of my circumstance the way God would want me to get out of it. To walk through it. To help me in those times. God's Word. Powerful, powerful thing. One more scripture and then we're done. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. There was a great dragon that was released. Look at verse 7. And there was war in the heavens. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, so that tells you who's talking. The devil's not in heaven anymore, so it ain't the devil talking, it's God. Just thought I'd point that out. Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accused them before God day and night has been hurled down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The devil hates your testimony. Sad to say, our society has made testimonies really kind of wimpy. My wife has probably one of the most powerful testimonies I know. You know why? Because she didn't have an alcohol problem. She didn't have a drug problem. She didn't have a problem doing her own thing. She had a problem going to church and doing what God asked her to do. And she did it since she was young. Most powerful testimony there is. Why? Because it shows the keeping power of Jesus Christ from young until she gets really old. I don't want to live without her. I like her. Now you might say, well, that's great and dandy. Yeah, it is. But the reality is that some of you have been set free from a lot of garbage, and that's powerful too. You've been delivered, you've been set free, and that's powerful too. But to me, the keeping power of watching a child grow up all the way through the years and to never darken the doorstep of going down the road of Satan had tempted for him. That's powerful. That's an amazing, powerful word. Now, that doesn't mean that person's any better. It's just that they have a lot less garbage to go through. So the reality is that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Imagine that. That's a tool of ours. When you pray over things and you plead the blood of Jesus over your kids, over your family, over your property, over whatever God tells you to plead the blood over, powerful work. Enemy has to pass over. And then he says, the word of their testimony. Testify about what God has done in you. Talk about what God's doing in you. Why? Because it's hard for me to discredit your testimony. I have no reason not to believe your testimony. I have no reason not to believe it. Because if you're a liar, the Holy Spirit will get you. He won't let you get away with it. He'll come and convict you and He'll stir in you. And you'll be getting rid of that stuff because you want to listen to what God says. So if we testify about what God's been doing in my life, I find it interesting this just the other day how God led me. I testify about what God's doing. Why? No credit to me. Because I wouldn't have done it on my own. So does that tell you how weak and wimpy I am without God? I would have been home doing my own thing. Enjoying the luxuries of my own life, doing whatever I wanted to do. No, but instead I learned to hear and listen what God is saying so that every day is a fulfillment of what He has. And when that takes place, guess what? You and I can stand before God, not proud, but with a confidence saying, Lord, I did what You asked. It was an honor. It was a privilege to do what You asked. No, I wasn't fearful or anything like that. It was an honor to do what You asked and watch God fulfill that which is needed. So with that this morning, I want to encourage you. Allow this day to be a fulfillment of what He has in mind. Allow the fulfillment of what God has in mind. You might got your day planned, but is it anywhere close to what He wants you to do? You know, this morning, I would have loved to have been sleeping at 4 o'clock. But that's what time He got me up. My flesh does not think 4 o'clock is a great time to wake up. But when God's Spirit moves you, it's time to listen and tell your flesh to take a back seat to the Spirit rising up inside of you. Now, He may not ask you to do that. That's good. Sleep and enjoy it. But throughout the day, if He asks you to do something, just surrender and say, yes, Lord. Because He's the head. We're the body. We do exactly what He says. And I am so thankful for the blood that He shed so that I could experience the work that He wants done in this life and fulfill His plan for my life. And I pray the same for you. Would you stand and pray with me as we close this morning? Lord, I'm very thankful. In fact, I don't even know how thankful just doesn't even seem right or enough. But I'm so thankful today of what You've done in our time here together today. Lord, I know that You want to continue to do things throughout this day. So Lord, I pray that each of us will continue to surrender to what You want done. And we'll allow You to lead us and allow You to guide us and direct us so that this day is a fulfillment of what You desire. Lord, I pray that each of us tunes in clear to hear what it is You're saying. We remove some of the distractions so that what You're saying becomes vitally important. Lord, I pray and thank You that each of us remembers what the blood of Jesus Christ really did for us and how it cleanses us from our sin and covers our sin never to be remembered again, but also gives us an ability to watch the death angel have to pass over. Lord, we thank You for the blood. There's power in the blood. And we thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, I pray that You'll teach us how to use the blood in a way that's honoring and pleasing to You. Because in Revelation they said they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, that means it's got to be used. Lord, I pray that each of us uses the blood of the Lamb and our testimony and the armor of God and the Word of God. We'll continue to use those things to overcome the enemy, even today. So, Lord, thank you and praise you for what you're going to continue to do in our time, in our life, even this day. We just surrender it to you. And we ask this all in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before you're dismissed, I don't know why I feel I need to just make this. There's been some things said this morning about making, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's you today, I'll encourage you to come up and just make things right with God. I don't know who that would be or anything. I have no clue. But if you know that you're not right with God today, I encourage you, take just a moment or two and make it right. I really believe it'll be a beginning of a new way of living for you that'll just encourage you and bless you and help you to stay true and stay strong in walking with Christ. So if that's you today, just want to encourage you today. Make sure you make that decision today. Okay? All right, God's blessing to you as you go. Be a blessing to one another.